Glory to God. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. Thank God for the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. I welcome you to another episode of Everyday with Jesus podcast, where our lives are being transformed by the word of God, by the preaching and the ministry of the word. Praise God. Yesterday we had a great time seeing all through scriptures how that the emphasis when it comes to salvation, the emphasis where it comes to believing the gospel, the emphasis when it comes to receiving forgiveness, confessing, and all that is on believing with our hearts. Hallelujah. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We clarified how that Paul mentions the mouth because he was quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. You may like to listen to that message. So Paul was employing the language of that book. He wasn't making or creating a hard and fast rule on how a man needs to confess with his mouth before he's saved. A very practical example is seen in the house of Cornelius, or at the house of Cornelius, Acts 10, 43 to 44, how that they believed the gospel. It was a silent activity. They already got saved. Peter did not even know. He was still preaching. And then Peter recalls this experience at Acts 15 and says, God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit. That is, God saw their hearts even while, you know, nobody saw the state of their hearts. Glory be to God. So today, I want us to quickly conclude on the use of the word, the use of the word homologio. We have seen Matthew 10:32, John 9:22, John 12:42, Acts 23 verse 8, Acts 24 verse 14. We've seen Romans 10:9-10. We've seen 1 John 1:9. And then of all these places, we've seen that the word confess is used for Christ. That is, to confess him, to confess Christ. While it's used just once in association with sin. And even that is, you know, Jesus is pretty much in the picture. Because there's no confessing of sin without confessing Christ as Lord and Savior. Matthew 21, you call his name Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins. So true confession is focused on Christ, what he has done. Glory be to God. So let's see some of the other places where the word homologia is used in the New Testament. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 15, Bible says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, you see that the confession again in this place is focused on Christ, confessing him that he is the Son of God. Praise God. Confessing that Jesus is the Son of God. Bible says, the man that confesses this fact, God abides in him and he in God. Of course, Jesus being the Son of God coming in the flesh is significant for the work of redemption. So, confessing Jesus as the Son of God is in connection with what he came to do as the Son of God in the flesh. Bible says in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Praise God. John 1:17, the law came through Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So, Jesus being the Son of God in the flesh was for the purpose of redemption. So, confessing that Jesus is the Son of God is confessing what he came to do in the flesh. Glory to God. 2 John chapter 1 verse 7. 2 John has just one chapter. So 2 John 7. Bible says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Have you seen? Who do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Confessing that Jesus has come in the flesh is to admit what he came to do in the flesh. It's beyond just saying that Jesus came in the flesh. It's about admitting what he came to do. Glory to God. Because Jesus partook of flesh and blood for a particular purpose. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Jesus partook of the flesh for a particular purpose. So to confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is to admit the work he has come to do in the flesh. Hebrews chapter 2. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 2. I'll read from verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death for every man. He by the grace of God might taste death for every man. From verse 10, for it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to you. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, here I am, and the children whom God has given me. Bible now says in verse 14, inasmuch then as the children are partaking of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So Jesus had an assignment. There was a reason why he came in the flesh. To confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is to confess what he came to do in the flesh. Praise God. That's the essence. Glory to Jesus. Bible says, through death, that he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Verse 15, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So, Jesus coming in the flesh is for the work of redemption. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 also. Hebrews chapter 10, I'll read from verse 5. Bible says, therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will. Have you seen? I have come, a body you have prepared for me. Coming in the flesh. Coming for, you know, coming and putting, taking on this body that God has prepared for him is for a particular reason. Verse 8, previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So Jesus coming in the flesh is for the sake of perfecting men once for all. Hallelujah. So the man that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is the man that confesses what Jesus came to do in the flesh. So again, the word homologia is used in connection with Jesus confessing Jesus, confessing that he has come in the flesh. Hallelujah. Then we have Hebrews 11 verse 13. Glory to God. Hebrews 11 13. Glory to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. Hallelujah. Bible says, at verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, we are sure of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That is, they acknowledged that they were strangers and they were looking forward to something better than, you know, an earthly tabernacle, an earthly place, an earthly inheritance. Glory be to God. Then, of course, at John 1:20, the Bible says, John the Baptist confessed that he was not the Christ, and that he acknowledged that his ministry was to be the voice crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. And also, of all the times, of all the places we find the word homologio, confession used, confession or confess used, in the letters of the apostles, we find the word used in connection with Christ 7 times. And then it is used by John the Baptist just once. That was not in connection with Christ or with sin. It was just him making a confession, admitting or confessing or acknowledging that he was not the Christ. Praise God. We find the word used by the writer of Hebrews, like we just saw, for the Old Testament saints who confessed that they were pilgrims and strangers on the face of the earth. At Acts 23:8, we find how the word is used for the Pharisees who confess both angels and spirits. That is, they acknowledge the existence of angels and spirits. At Acts 24 verse 14, we find Paul confessing that, you know, his way of worship is the truth. Hallelujah. The way of worship is the truth. Glory to God. It says, I confess unto thee that after the way which they call heresy, I worship God. Hallelujah. So, we find the word used in connection with Christ 7 times. Used in connection with sin just once. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. And I said, Christ is still very much in the picture, because it's in that particular portion he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us all unrighteousness. Have you seen? So it's still about Jesus. We're going to come to 1 John 1 verse 9 and then I think tomorrow, so we can explain it again, all over again, and have some other insights from scriptures as to why that text is constructed that way. Praise God. It's one of the major texts of the Bible that people use to promote this idea of daily asking for forgiveness and pleading for forgiveness and asking God to, you know, have mercy on you for your sins. So we're going to explain it again from scriptures and see, have some more insight concerning this text of the Bible. Praise God. So we see that the confession that the Bible emphasizes is faith in Christ. Hallelujah. That's the confession that saves. Faith in Christ. Believing. The man that has believed in the work of redemption, the man that has believed the gospel, has said something to God. He has said something. He has certified that God is true. Look at John chapter 3. The man that has believed has said something to God. He hasn't said anything to man, because the believing is a silent activity. So while the man has believed, and we don't know, in his heart, he has already said something to God. God has heard something. Praise God. You know, God doesn't need you to say something before he hears you. He hears the thoughts of our hearts. He knows our intent. He knows the state of our heart. So, believing has said something to God. It has communicated something to God. And I'm going to show you what your believing has done. Look at John chapter 3. Glory to God. John's Gospel chapter 3. Hallelujah. Your believing has said something. The man that believes in the gospel in his heart has said something to God. And God recognizes and acknowledges him as, you know, as true. Praise God. Look at John chapter 3, verse 33. Bible says, he who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. He has said something. Praise God. He has said, your believing has said something to God. What is your believing saying to God? That God is true. Hallelujah. You are saying God is true. The same way the man that does not believe in his heart, without him saying anything, has said something to God in his heart. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5. Glory to God. Believing says something. Unbelief also says something. Without you saying anything with your mouth, just believing silently in your heart, God has heard something. Hallelujah. God has heard something, because he sees the heart, he sees the thoughts, he sees the intent, he sees everything that, you know, is hidden from the senses. No creature is hidden from his sight, before whom we are going to give an account. So 1 John chapter 5, look at this from verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. So here's what John is saying. The man that says God is lying, and the man that just doesn't believe the gospel. You preach the gospel and he says nothing and he does not believe. They have both said the same things. Praise God. One has only given voice to it. One has only said something with his mouth. The other person that has said nothing in his mouth has also said something to God without saying anything with his mouth, because unbelief is actually saying that God is a liar. Hallelujah. That's the same way faith, believing, is saying that God is true. Hallelujah. So that's the confession that matters. Your faith says something to God. Your faith has said something to God. So we don't ask for forgiveness daily, because that wasn't how we receive forgiveness in the first place. That wasn't how we receive salvation. We didn't receive forgiveness by pleading or asking. We receive forgiveness by simply believing in the gospel. And that's the confession that saves us. Furthermore, when we look through Old Testament prophecies, we see that the idea of forgiveness that God was communicating through the prophets was about a complete forgiveness, a once-for-all kind of forgiveness, something not found in the Old Testament. Praise God. That was the kind of forgiveness that God was communicating by his Spirit through the prophets. Praise God. So we're going to examine some of the Old Testament prophecies, and you see how these prophecies captured the essence of forgiveness in the New Testament. How that it's a once for all deal. It is a done deal. The man that is forgiven remains forgiven till the end of time. He will never be in need of forgiveness again, because God forgives once and for all in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Now, something about the prophecies of the Old Testament is how that sometimes you find that the words, the prophecies are directed towards Israel or Judah. You find that the prophecies are always referring to Israel, Judah. In few cases, you find the prophecies refer to Gentiles and all that. But then the truth of the matter is this, that it refers to Israel or Judah does not mean it's limited to them. When you come to the New Testament, you discover that the prophecies were beyond the house of Israel. It was beyond Judah. It was beyond, do you understand? It was beyond the Jews. It was about the whole world. Especially when you read prophecies that contain the blessedness that is ours in Christ Jesus. Praise God. So look at 1 Peter chapter 1. And this is how to read the prophets. That the fact that you have seen Israel or Judah mentioned does not mean it is exclusive to Israel or to Judah. Does not mean it is limited to them. The prophets were ministering in the Jewish context, and because of this, many times they will speak based on their immediate audience. Praise God. They will speak about the people of Israel. They will speak about the land of Judah and all that. But when you come to the New Testament, you discover that the things they said, their utterances, was beyond the Jews. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 1, I'll read from verse 10. The Bible says, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and said carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating. When he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that will follow, to them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. So the things that the prophets said were things pertaining to salvation. Praise God. Things pertaining to salvation, and this salvation is to all men. Hallelujah. It's to all men. So they were ministering to us. They were ministering things that would come to us. The grace, he says, they were prophesying of the grace that would come to us. The grace of Jesus Christ is not limited to the Jews. It's not limited to Judah. Hallelujah. So the prophecies would mention house of Israel or Judah, but then we know from the New Testament that it was beyond those guys. Glory be to God. Let's see another example. The prophecies go beyond the house of Israel or the land of Judah. The prophecies are concerning, you know, the whole world. Praise God. See also 2 Peter chapter 1. Glory to God. 2 Peter chapter 1. Bible says at verse 16, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we are eyewitnesses of this, of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice when which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So he speaks of the prophetic scriptures which we are meant to pay attention to. Now this was not just about the Jews. Because if you read chapter 1 from verse 1, Peter speaking, he says, Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. So Peter is writing a general epistle, not just to the Jews. And then he's commending us to the prophetic scriptures, what the Old Testament prophets wrote. And he says we should do well to heed it as a light that shines in a dark place. Glory be to God. Look at Romans chapter 16, another example. So while sometimes or most times the prophets were mentioning Israel, Judah, we realize by the New Testament teaching that the things they said were beyond the Jews. Hallelujah. The things they said applied to, you know, the work of Christ for all men. Romans chapter 16, glory to Jesus. Romans in chapter 16, I'll read from verse 25. The Bible says, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations. Hallelujah. Prophetic scriptures made known to all nations. That is, the prophecies of the prophets are now being made known to all nations. They are communicating to all nations from the prophecies. The apostles were teaching from the scriptures, from the prophets, to all nations. Hallelujah. According to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith, to God alone, wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So, some of the prophecies we're going to see, you're going to discover that they mention Israel, but then I've just shown you in scriptures how that these things actually go beyond the Jews. They are things that have been fulfilled for us in Christ Jesus. So let's see Jeremiah chapter 31 from verse 31 to 34. I said that one of the reasons why we do not ask for forgiveness is because of the nature of the prophecies. The things that the prophecies communicated. The kind of forgiveness that God spoke through the prophets. The forgiveness is an everlasting forgiveness. A complete forgiveness, a total once for all kind of forgiveness. Jeremiah chapter 31, glory to God. Jeremiah 31, I will start from verse 31. Jeremiah 31, 31, Bible says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, the fact that it mentions a new covenant shows you it's not just any kind of covenant. It's talking about the New Testament in Christ Jesus. Jesus speaks of the new covenant which is in his blood. Hallelujah. So, But it mentions house of Israel and house of Judah. But it applies to every man. Praise God. And then he says in verse 32, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my law in their minds and write it in their hearts, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I'll forgive their iniquities, and their sin I'll remember no more. Hallelujah. Are you aware that this is what the writer of Hebrews quotes at Hebrews 8? Hallelujah. So this is not just about the house of Israel or the house of Judah. It's about the whole world, in the which sins are taken away, in the which sins are not remembered anymore. Sins are not, you know, born in the mind. Sins are not reckoned or imputed. Sins are not punished or rewarded. Glory be to God. So you see that in this forgiveness, there's a change of nature. I'll put my laws in your mind, write them in your heart. I'll be your God, you'll be my people. Do you understand? There's a change. And then he says, I won't remember sin anymore. That is, sin will not be brought into account again. Glory be to God. That's the kind of forgiveness that God communicated through the prophets. Forgiveness that would be final, that would be total, that would be complete. That the man will not be in need of forgiveness again because sins will not be remembered anymore. Glory be to God. Look at Jeremiah 33, verse 7 to 8. Jeremiah 33, verse 7 to 8. Praise God. Bible says, and I will cause the captives of Judah and the captives of Israel to return, and I will rebuild those places as at the first. I will cleanse them from their iniquity by which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned and by which they have transgressed against me. So he says, I'm going to pardon all their iniquities. Though he uses the word pardon, you see that he has qualified it with the word cleanse, which means to purify, to purge. Hallelujah. To purify, to make pure. So the kind of forgiveness or this kind of pardon involves being purged from your sins. It involves being purified. Glory be to God. That's the kind of forgiveness that God promised through the prophets. See Jeremiah 50 verse 20. This one is very, very apt. Hallelujah. Listen. It says, in those days and in that time, says the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought, but there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, but they shall not be found. For I will pardon those whom I preserve. Have you seen? They will be looking for their sin and they won't find it. And the reason is not because they have no sins in themselves. The reason is not because they've stopped defaulting or erring or falling into sin. The reason is not because they've stopped making mistakes or errors. The reason is because I will pardon. Praise God. Of course, this is Old Testament language, which speaks of remission in the New Testament. I will remit their sins. I will forgive. It's a total cleansing in the which you'll be looking for sin. You see, this is another way of saying God does not impute sin. So you won't be able to find it. You are looking for it, you won't find it because it's been taken away. Glory to God. You won't find it because it's been taken away. John chapter 1 verse 29. Glory to God. Bible says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It's sin put out of sight. Hallelujah. That's the idea of forgiveness in Christ Jesus. Sin is put out of sight. It will never come in between you and God anymore. It will never be a barrier or an hindrance between you and God anymore. It's been put out of sight. It's been dealt with. It's been destroyed. Glory be to God. Ezekiel 36 verse 25 to 27. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27. Glory to God. Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27. Bible says, then I'll sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I'll cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit within you. I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you'll keep my judgments and do them. Hallelujah. Have you seen again that this kind of forgiveness involves the change of the man? A heart of stone has been taken away and a heart of flesh has been given. Glory to God. Micah 7 verse 18 to 19. Micah 7 verse 18 to 19. Glory to God. Micah chapter 7 verse 18 to 19. And I'm going to be closing here today. Micah 7 18 to 19. Bible says, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Have you seen? Into the depths of the sea. You give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. So this speaks of the fulfillment of the promise God made to Abraham. This is the gospel. You cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Have you seen? Sin is put out of sight. Hallelujah. Sin will never be reckoned against you again. Sin will never be reckoned against you. You'll be looking for it. Jeremiah 50:20. They'll be looking. They'll be seeking out sin and it will not be found. They'll be looking for sin and it will not be found because it's been dealt with totally, brutally, fatally, hallelujah, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. So we'll never be in need of forgiveness again because we already have forgiveness in Christ Jesus. Do good to tune in tomorrow, 7 a.m. Let's come together again to learn the word of God, to continue this study. Invite your friends, relatives, members of your family, colleagues, classmates, anyone at all. Let's come together to have a great time in the word of God. Put on your social media handles, your status, and let's come together to have a great time in the word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the word, full of the spirit, full of prayer, spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.